googlemotherfuckers.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the Call to Bean, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Welcome to IanEllis.podbean.com. I'm your host, Ian Ellis. Every week I give you new stand-up comedy, and sometimes I hang out and interview people that I like. This week I was hanging out with my man, Grade A Plus, from the Eskimo Bros Squadcast podcast. It was an impromptu interview. We were just hanging out outside and decided to throw on the phone. So there's going to be all kinds of noise in the background. I apologize. Cans crushing, cigarettes lighting, stuff like that. And there's like an air conditioner in the beginning that's really bad, but that goes away, I think, pretty quick. But yeah, it was a great conversation. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to hear a bunch of stuff you never heard before. So please subscribe to the podcast. If you love stand-up comedy, tell everybody about it. You know, I'm the only person putting out new material every week. And I know it's a little artsy and weird, but I'm going to rein it in a little bit. Alright, peace.
So I'll set it up now. So this is perfect because we were talking about how rappers and comedians can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. You're a rapper, I'm a comic.
Indeed.
We're going to find out about each other's worlds tonight. So my name's Ian Ellis, and today you're joined by my man.
Great day.
Baby Mama Bandit.
Baby Mama Bandito.
So this is one of my Eskimo Bros, Eskimo Bros Squadcast podcast.
That's from Ian's Bastard podcast.
I can't figure out how to transition the audiences. I also just realized this about my own show. I listened to like some old episodes, and I was like, a random person just checking me out, I sound like a fucking crazy person. So I think I gotta retool my show to be like, hi, my name's Ian, this is what I do, and then kind of like lay it out for people a little bit more.
I believe that. Because, you know what? I don't even think you have to cross them, because I'm the type of person, I listen to 85 South Show, and I listen to, like, Bill Burr every once in a while. So it's a certain group of people that'll fuck with both. And, like, the more you make it, the more you build it, they'll come.
Well, my thing is, like, if people are fucking with me, they get it, but it's so hard for a new person to figure out what is going on that, like, It's like you're coming in the middle of some shit, so...
I feel you. Yeah, well, it's always a good idea to intro yourself every show. That is, I can't argue against that. But, like, just getting people to fuck with it, man, as long as you make fire content, you have that chance for that one person to see it, like, for it to cross over, and then they have so much shit to look like, oh, damn, I didn't know this dude was that funny. And they go back and blow your whole shit up, and then you're on a tour eating lobsters and throwing PlayStations in the garbage and shit. Like Kevin Hart. You know, every time he get in a room, he buys a new Xbox and throws that shit away? Like, he gives it to the maid or something?
He got too much goddamn money.
That's all you gotta do, man. Just be fire.
The money in comedy is very, very funny. I just found out, I had said on Laughable that Joe Rogan's audience is 11 million. I found out it's actually closer to 16 million people are listening per episode. And probably has gone up from there. And then Bill Burr is number two, and then it's like a huge drop-off to the next person.
That means it's a lot of open market space, dude. That's just two guys. And they're both really funny. Like, I'm not trying to take nothing away from them. Especially me. I'm a black dude, and I know who both those people are. If you are listening, and you're from the Eskimo Bros audience, Joe Rogan is the guy that used to do Fear Factor. And Bill Rogan is... Wait, I'm fucking the names up. Bill Burr is the white guy from the racial draft sketch on Chappelle's Show.
Bill Rogan's the dude that delivers my mail. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, that motherfucker never made it, though.
He's just walking around with dreams. Just trying to make it. So we do another show. Let's actually talk about the other show for a minute, called the Eskimo Bros. You and me are, like, very eclectic, weird dudes, because, like, fuck with a lot of hip-hop, also fuck with O&A, fuck with comedy, fuck with, like, QEP, like, It's this very weird, it's the shit that we fuck with.
That's what life is. I feel like most people that don't have a wide scope, they just lying, and there's some weird shit to answer that they don't tell you about, because nobody's that fucking, you know,
yeah,
one-track-minded. Every tough motherfucker knows what Dragon Ball Z is. He might not have been into it, but at some point he was 12 and he had Pokemon cards or some shit. Like, you weren't always just rugged as fuck. These motherfuckers I know is killers that was like the biggest Pokemon fans in the world. So I'm dead ass serious. Like, we used to trade cards and shit. Now your ass tough as fuck. Like, boy, you would bust a nut if you saw Charizard right now.
I would say, like, everybody's written at least one breakup note. They'd rather die than have that shit read out loud. That's our fake-ass security walking by.
Oh, okay.
They go out there and make sure the kids are out of the pool.
Okay. Well, you tripping on the weed?
Fucking,
I'm not gonna say it too loud, but they also just put out a thing that people aren't allowed to smoke around here anymore.
Really?
I gotta quit anyway for the baby, but, I was like, well, what I'm smoking ain't legal anyways.
Don't take note of that. If y'all, if this motherfucker pop up, I'm making it feel real important to smooth out the situation. Because while we on here, fuck, you got another black guy on your show. I'm from the West Burbs. If you don't know what that is, that's like the west side of the west side of Chicago. It's technically a suburb, but you can get your ass shot there. About 10, 15 minutes east of like the west side. But yeah, seen a lot of hood shit growing up. And it's a lot of nigga moments that could be dispersed, you know what I'm saying, cooled off with just a little bit of getting rid of that ego shit. It's not necessary, man. Everybody making home to your families. That's how you, one time I was at the place that I frequent getting the fucking burger before work and almost got shot. Not me, but two motherfuckers beef. Like, I saw a motherfucker, they was in two different gangs. I ain't gonna say what they was, but they seen each other and they bumped into each other and it wasn't no reason to fucking box. And he's like, nigga, I'm this. He's like, nigga, I'm that. And then they started fighting and I see him reaching for their guns, but they decided to fight instead. And it was actually fucked up because the guy just bought like a giant gyro and a pop. And he caught a hook and the shit like exploded and went everywhere. But I say that to say this.
It's the worst. You're just like soggy and sticky. Like you're happy you're still alive.
It was fucking gyro meat everywhere.
I definitely gotta go home.
He took him on though. It was a fat dude. It was like one fat gang member versus like three skinny gang members. And he gave two of them the business, but, you know, shit got out of hand. And that didn't need to happen, so, you know, keep the nigga moments to a minimum. You think your audience knows what a nigga moment is?
We can break it down. I mean, I think everybody watches Boondocks.
Yeah, like, unnecessary aggression, because when you're black, you grow up most of the time in an area where you have to be somewhat aggressive so you don't get taken advantage of. But a side effect of that is niggas don't know when to turn that shit off, and it leads to a lot of unnecessary violence and macho shit.
As Stanley Tookie Williams, the dude that started the Crips, he has said, like, we live in a society or America where your value comes from what you have, like your job, your money. And he's like, when you're in an area where there's no jobs to have and no money to have, you got to find another way to get that value. And it comes through strength, from, like, being able to whip someone's ass on site. And that was a big part of, like, that's like the origins of gang culture. It's like, we don't have shit, but we're going to look like we're the shit together.
Yeah, and then just like, you know, deprivation, that shit, being deprived, being desperate, it'll make you do some shit that you wouldn't do if you were comfortable.
Me and my dude Brandon, we were like, we were right by a bank, and we were just plotting, like, when times got real tough, I was like, listen, I'm gonna go in there. If I see someone walking out with a wad of cash, I'm gonna text you, follow.
That's a really bad idea.
It is, but you know, when times are tough, times are tough.
Y'all would have been better coming up with a fake credit card, like buying a social security number and then just getting as many cards you can give it that shit. Don't listen if the feds is listening. But you know, this is Chicago. This is the card cracking capital.
Like, you get those cards, it's like $75 a card, but you don't know what's on it. You could be buying $150. You could be buying $15,000. Yeah, you don't know what you're buying. You're just buying a card.
And if you're listening, don't ever let somebody in your bank account turn $40 to $4,400. It's a bad idea. They gonna take all the shit and then leave the bank calling your ass like, where the fuck is this money? Free knowledge. How did we get on this shit? We just talking this shit?
Sidebars. But we do the Eskimo Bros, which is like, you know, you and me come from kind of like the Opie and Anthony world, but then there's also this new thing that's 85 South, and we're kind of like this sort of hybrid of rap and comedy. And
yeah, I would say I'm from both, because me and Toyce kind of have Toyce is one of the co-hosts on the Eskimo Bros with us.
It's Toyce, just Toyce.
Yes, just Toyce. But we both, our first interjection to podcast shit was like the Foxhole Radio, and that was very similar to the 85 Jamie South
Fox,
where it was like a lot of music. It was just him and all his comedian buddies, and then he had a station, Foxhole, where he had his show Foxhole, and then another show, Speedy's Comedy Corner, and then Corey Holcomb had a show that he still has now, but it started on there, the 5150 show. And that was my first introduction into podcast, you know, paid shit talking.
Let me say, people don't know that Jamie Foxx is a gangster. This dude, like, athlete, comedian, musician, he's a very talented dude, and he's been famous for a long ass time. And in the white community, he just pops up on, like, In Living Color, and maybe like a single here and there, or pops up in a movie. But he talks that shit. Like, look at the Shaq Rose, listen to his radio show. He will eat your ass.
If you've never
Jamie
heard
Fox is not playing around.
If you never heard Foxhole, it was like the equivalent to like black OD Anthony shit. Without the pranks really, but just the straightforward, you know, honesty, crassness of it. It was a beautiful thing, man. That's how I came up on my podcast. That's my introduction to that shit.
I love Jamie. So 85 South, the audience doesn't know what that is. How would you describe that show?
The audience doesn't know what 85 South is?
Probably not.
85 South, if you're listening to that, it is basically a peek into what it's honestly like to be amongst black people when they're just hanging out kicking it. It's very honest. The jokes, it's ran by Carlos Miller, DC Young Fly from Wildin' Out, and Clayton English from Last Comic Standing, and Chico Bean from Wildin' Out. And it's just, it's the blackest shit on the fucking internet, man. And it's I was listening to it on the way over here.
It's funny as hell.
But yeah, please check that out. Check us out. I mean, they should.
Yeah, check out the Eskimo Bros.
When we get big enough, they'll check us out. But fucking, yeah, it's really just the peek into what it is to be like black and talking shit.
We're going to fill up your whole library. But if you're a trucker or a security guard, or you know somebody that's a trucker or a security guard or just has a grip of free time on their hands, tell them to check us out because we're very entertained.
Any job where you're on your phone all motherfucking day, we can help you get through that.
If you know any black people.
Okay, that's how I got up on a podcast, because that Foxhole shit, they were really satellite radio, but people just ripped the shit to put them on the internet, and I put them in my Zoom because it was that long ago. And when I was at work, I would listen to one of them shits, and the shit would just like float by. Like, I'd be off work, like, damn, that was fast. It felt like I was just having a fun ass conversation the whole time. And ever since then, I pretty much been on the podcast.
I used to be a security guard for a long time, man. It was just like, when Pete Holmes and Marc Maron, I was just like going through, I was like probably 50 episodes behind them starting.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like hour after hour. It was like comedy university.
Basically that too. It makes you, it kind of
help keep your dreams alive.
The way you and the way you listen and thoughts that they inspired, like, because you listen to the conversation, you naturally think up like if you were in the room, your responses, and it helps you find your voice and how you honestly feel about shit and your comedic timing and things like that. Because that's what made me think, like, I could do a show. Because I listen to a show, and sometimes it'd be a guest, and I'd be like, shit, I'm funnier than that dude. Like, on certain shows I'm listening to, so I'm like, fuck it, I give it a whirl.
Alright, so I don't know if it's the same in the rap world, but in the comedy world, is like, that's one of the biggest reasons people start. It's like, damn, I'm funnier than that dude. That's easy money.
Well, rap is even worse, because it used to be like, you'd be really talented, and be like, well, shit, I'm raw, I give it a shot. And now it's just like, shit, I turn up. Yeah,
I drink.
Yeah. So it's really is a total free market in rap, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because it's very oversaturated. But if it forces people to be even more unique, so you find your audience and the people that really fuck with you, and then you straight, because they come to you for that, because there's millions of motherfuckers rapping, so they specifically come to Wiz Khalifa for the weed talk, because there's a lot of motherfuckers doing it. Or they specifically come to Yachty for his yeah.
I think I...
Oh, wait, Uzi for the yeah.
I said it off mic before, but Wiz Khalifa is everything we wanted Little Bow Wow to grow up to be. That was my thought on it.
Yeah.
Like, damn it, Bow Wow, just smoke some more and chill the fuck out.
Bow Wow's successful. He just talks too fucking much. Like, he spent all the time where we had to, like, get jobs and, like, you know, have real lives and shit. He just spent on the road fucking bitches that he didn't really work to get. And then it's like, you want us to congratulate you too, because every time I see him in the fucking interview, it's like he always like, you know, Lil Wayne, Hove, me, you know, no, you was just a motherfucker that was there. You was a model, and he wants to have his
you're
respect.
You're not even
like
on my fingers. You might not even make my toes.
For real. You know, like, and he wants his respect like a hip hop legend. And it's like, nigga, we wasn't playing your shit to get through the day. You was just a motherfucker there, fucking bitches, cashing these checks. And I salute the hustle, but like, don't expect me to just celebrate your ass. Like, fuck out of here.
But that is part of the hustle now, like Wayne going like, I'm the greatest rapper alive.
He can say that, arguably, though. Especially, I know.
He didn't mean it when he started saying it. I think it was like you don't think it was like a marketing campaign at all?
We're a couple.
That fake it till you make it shit?
We're a couple years apart. And I think he was on an episode when we was talking about it. When we was like, Wayne was like a guy here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when's the album you first heard about Wayne and he was like a super celebrity? Like, you heard of him being this superstar, like on the level of Drake and him like that.
Yeah, I think it was Wayne 3. I think that was
the Carter 3?
Yeah.
Okay, and that was like 2009 maybe.
I think that's when people were like, Wayne is Wayne. He's people, one of them.
And that's when it like reached y'all. But like people like me, Jax Twist, the other co-host from the show, Wayne's been that since 1999. So he's had that fan base to be like, I remember him being a rapper. I could spit a whole Wayne verse flawlessly right now from 2000 when he was like 17 just rapping his ass off. Like, he's been that motherfucker with bars to like kids in our age bracket that's adults now. So he has the weight to say like best rapper alive.
But you know, like Chino XL is one of my favorite rappers. has no production, but I love Chino. He's up there with like Jay Electronica. Like, most talent, but doesn't use it for shit.
Yeah,
you got all this Chino power, and what are you doing?
My favorite Chino XL song is the one off Soundbomb. Like, this is how it goes down in the town of West Oakland, Pepe Ho. So this game we never change. It Jersey, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I recognize it, but I don't know the lyrics.
Oh, I'm fine that shit. Just play it.
If you've never heard of Chino, go check out Here to Save You All.
I'm gonna get Ian's podcast like snatched off. Yeah, I'm gonna get Ian's podcast snatched off the internet playing old.
That never happened. I got Wayne or I got Kanye's new shit still on there. Nobody blinked. It's washed off the rest of the internet. That's how small I am.
You won't even believe this is a Chino XL song because it's so played. You know how all the songs are like real. I'm gonna rap at your motherfucking ass and then split you in half.
He's like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, but on this shit, he was like in his bag on some player shit though. I love this song because my in high school, one of my guys like a big Chino XL fan. And he gave me this fucking song, this CD, like a burn CD, just wrote Chino on it. And it had Here to Save You All and I Told You So on it. But it had this one song that wasn't on shit and I can never find it. And it was the most pimped out shit. It sounds like...
I bet it's on his second album. The one where he's walking out of like a burning building.
It was... That's the album that he gave me. But the extra shit was off like Sound Bombing or something.
He did a whole bunch of sound bombs. He's quick to jump on tracks. He still does shit with like Cannabis, like... Like, he'll do his Cannabis bar exam. Is there like two schools of bar exam where it's like the Royce to 5'9" versus the Cannabis type?
We had a heated bars debate on the Eskimo Bros conference squad cast. But it depends. Depends on the person, because lots of people have bars. Like Scarface has bars, but he's not saying mind melting metaphors. He's giving really vivid pictures. Ice Cube has bars, because you just see what he's saying. Yeah. And then there's this certain type of bars for somebody like that made their shit specifically for a cipher. And there's a lot of similes and metaphors in it. But it really depends on the person. And then with me too, with music, a lot of times, what I was trying to say on the show, if you're listening, I think that's episode number 13, is that bars and no bars, a big thing with music is how cool do you feel when you listen to it? When you listen to Tupac, you feel like I'm turned up.
West
you feel
side.
Cool right now.
What's that when I ride?
And that's a big part of it, where... If you listen to Chino, you might like it a lot. But some of them songs, you don't want no girls to see you playing that shit.
Chino make you feel like you gotta get a library card. It's just starting to rain.
We should be straight if we ended
the... I hope this is the air conditioner. So I brought up Chino because I was listening to an interview and they asked him about Wayne. And he was like, you know what? Whatever you think of Wayne, I can't predict his punchlines. I can't predict where his lines are going. He's like, the level of creativity it takes for me to not be able to predict what you're gonna spit.
Who said that?
Chino.
Oh, he said that about Wayne.
Yeah. Because he's like most rappers, I could finish your sentence for you. Like, do you find that where people get predictive? That happens in comedy all the time.
That happens with the, like, very, with comedians, right? There's comedians that just kind of tell stories and give you their point of view and shit. And then there's other ones who just give you joke after joke after joke. Like, Red Fox, his type of comedy was knock-knock jokes, but really good knock-knock jokes.
Yeah.
And rappers, when you do that, people like Cassidy, even though I like Cassidy, after a while, it's like, I'm not knowing anything about you. You're just giving me lines that don't mean shit. You just look at this clever thing I thought of. Look at this clever thing I thought of. It's not look at what I think about this. And when you only rap to do that, it takes away from it. Because I've written a lot of songs, and in high school that was the shit. Like Cassie was the shit. Joe Budden wasn't the shit, but on mixtapes he was. Wayne was the shit. Dipset was the shit. So I would just write some shit like, look at all this clever shit I can say, and I would write it, and it felt like doing homework more so than self-expression. So.
And sitting there like studying numerology so you could write a verse about it. You're like, you gotta learn stuff before you can spit.
Yeah, it would just be a lot of shit, like
all over Wikipedia.
Like, I wasn't shooting shit in high school, but I would always come with these gun punch lines for battles and shit. And it didn't mean shit, but it was like, oh, you said it so clever. I was like, we used to have battles and shit, and some motherfucker said something, and I was like, my friend that grew dreads, and he said, we had the battle. He's like, ah, nigga, I might take your lunch money. And I was like, that'll never happen. I beat your ass. But when it was my turn to go in the battle, I was like, first you see the red dot, then you feel the head shot, then they turn you over and mop the floor with your dreadlocks. And everybody was like, oh! So that is good for that moment. But in the song, it doesn't do too much if I don't mean it when I say it. It's just some shit you see. You know what I mean? That's like, why did the chicken cross the road shit?
Well, where it gets predictable, well, I'm not even going to say predictable, but comedy's version of that is people write very clever jokes to say things that everybody already knows.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guns are bad, or it's okay to be gay, or be a Democrat. Like, Trump is terrible. And I find the very clever ways to say this, but I'm like, you've added no new information to the way I look at the world. You haven't changed the way I look at the world at all. You haven't told me, you're like preaching in the choir.
Yeah, well, comedy, like, the shit that I like about comedy, I love when I hear a joke that's like, I never thought of it that way before. Or even if it's some shit that everybody said, I never had that perspective on it. Like, so it just made me go like, damn, that was a clever way to put that. Like, I was looking at The Next Level, and they had Mario Torre on there. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about when you have a woman, like, they're like, oh, I take care of the kids, I do this and that. And he was like, when you're a dude, you have whatever job you spend 8 hours at. Then when you get home, you gotta be, you take out the garbage, so you're a garbage man. You gotta fuck so you're a porn star. If y'all smoke, you gotta get the weed, so you the plug. If you gotta go on a road trip, you're a truck driver. It's like, I just got off work and I got six more jobs. Like, a lot of people have said that, but I never heard it put that way before. And I was like, oh, shit. And then there was another one that Ari Shaffir just had a show drop. Show you the range I got.
He just dropped two specials.
Yeah, none of the black people that listen to me know who Ari Shaffir is, but I know because I'm a comedy dude.
Bray rides with, like, Joe Rogan. Like, you're down with the experience.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of this shit. Yeah, and he had a joke talking about chlamydia, and it was like, the shit only lasts for 10 days, so if everybody that had it could stop fucking for 2 weeks, it would never resist again. It was like, the humor was like, nah, fuck that. I'll give you 8 days, maybe. And, like, that, I never heard it that way before. And, like, so if the joke is clever, even if it's just some funny, nasty shit, but if it's just a way nobody done it before, it'll make you, that's what makes me give you your props as a comedian.
A part of that joke that I really liked is he's like, has anybody in the audience had it? And one guy was like, yeah, me. And he's like, really, just one person? And he's like, I had it twice. I was like, that was great.
All the motherfuckers.
Perfect heckle. He shut up after that line. Like, that was a perfect heckle.
If you've ever been 19 through 22, you've had chlamydia.
I've had a shot in the butt.
I'm allergic to the shot. They gave me pills. Fuck it. And I had chlamydia from fucking a bitch with a condom on. But then I just took a nap, like, in the squirt spot.
Drooling in your sleep.
Had I just rolled over, I'd have been lit. But what were we talking about? We were talking about the rap comedy shit.
You were looking up Chino's song.
I think, yeah, my fault. Before I was doing that.
So rap and comedy, right now comedy is, you could say it's in a renaissance, but basically they're giving out specials. And the thing is, all right.
Go ahead.
Pause. Well, we're going to, here's Chino XL.
Play Chino XL. My bad, man. I didn't mean to really train the thought. Some of the most played Chino XL ever. You never heard this before? Okay. She was such a player. When she played Penny on Good Times, a chick in the hood shines, but blinds a trick nigga that has not been exposed to this mentality of mine. That's the thing, it's like sometimes it's better if you just lay it better on the floor. Yeah, because this is, I don't need to know how clever you are. He still has the song telling us how smart he is.
That's
just enough.
You tell me how smart you are,
but
you never say anything.
I'm
like,
what? He says, like, clever shit with big words and shit, but... Who had the hook going in with fucking shit? They just squeeze up the nine. I heard this shit when I was, like, 15. On the bus feeling like the shit. You see a bitch with a big booty walk past with this big one?
Because
I know it's like being a rapper. Like, y'all like, hear that shit? Somebody want to hear that shit. Yeah, that shit is
lit. It's too cold tonight.
Why do you think I be rapping on this show? Y'all finna hear these verses. Oh, this is the hook. This game would never change. In Jersey, freaks touch concrete. 8 inches on cheese. Save it, it'll never be. Another knee, saucy, squeeze up on a whole lot. Oh, shit, you gotta pay me. That's real talk. You know what's that fat white man named
Ben Franklin? The bald head with the glass with you. I got glasses and everything.
But yeah, y'all go look that up. That's how it goes off Lyricist Lounge.
We can talk about Chino's career real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing I just want to say before we do that. Just to get a perspective of the eclecticness around my crib, nobody knows what the fuck that song is. Like, I was the type of person that would look and do and be like, oh, this is some other shit, this is some other shit. Around my crib, high school, niggas want to hear Dipset, fucking Lil B, G-Unit, 36 Mafia maybe, fucking just hood shit. Wayne was coming up. So, I'm willing to go look and test some shit out instead of just writing it off because, like, oh, it's not black enough for me.
It's a weird thing. I don't know if it's a Chicago thing, but most of the black people I know, their parents are, like black power nationalists, like, down with the Panthers, and they grow up reading, like, Revolutionary Suicide and shit. Mm-hmm. And so I got into, like, QEP and Gandhi and Akil, and I was just, like, devouring that information. Mm-hmm. And then I would talk about my dude, Rupal, and I'm always blown away, because it's like they don't teach this stuff in schools. Like, somebody has to turn you on to hear this shit.
Most black parents is like that because they don't teach that shit in school. Because, like, my dad was friends with Fred Hampton. If you're listening, you don't know who that is. Fred Hampton was, like, the leader of the Black Panthers in Chicago. And he's from Maywood, the neighborhood I'm from. He was born there. And basically, the cops... He was in the house sleep with his wife and the kid and shit, and the cops just ran in there and shot the shit out of him. And then it came out later that the government basically put a hit out on him, and nobody went to jail. It's just like, yeah, we did that shit, but it was later. But we
nothing you could do about it.
In the high school, they never mentioned the Black Panthers in my fucking history book. They
just mentioned them as like a militant armed group. And there was also hella other groups, because I went to a garage sale and found a bunch of old ass Life magazines, and there was these other groups that were like straight up doing bomb threats, like, you gonna meet our demands and we're blowing up buildings and shit. You never hear about any of the other groups.
I only
hear about
the niggas Panthers, was Malcolm, and but honestly, one of the reasons they don't spread that is because they don't want people to be like, oh, you can do that, and then it kicks back up again. They want that information suppressed. So when you're like, have black parents, luckily, if they're learned enough, read enough, they're gonna tell their kids, hey, this is how shit really is, in case they don't tell you, because you need to know that, because you can't. Especially being black in America, you can't just take their word for it. Anybody, like any textbook, any like source of information, you can't just take the news's word for it, because they don't know what it's like. Like when somebody gets shot and they be like, possible gang member, you don't know, like if you're from a neighborhood, you know somebody like that. Like that motherfucker worked at UPS and he had friends that was in the gang.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really with shit like that. But they're going to frame it a certain way because they view you as dangerous because you're from a dangerous place.
There was a couple, I sent you that thing on Instagram of dude that was chilling, eating some food, and he sees a dude trying to get into his car, and so he walks over there, he flips on his camera, he's like, hey man, what you doing? And it's a cop. It was an undercover cop trying to break into his car, and he's like, why are you in my car? He's like, oh, there's a lot of guns around here. And he walked off, and I was like, they were setting him up, like
probably. That's another thing too, like if your audience has this information or not. Well, like I said, my dad was friends with the Black Panthers growing up. I grew up knowing this kind of shit. Cops were created to protect, it says protect the serve, like protect property, mm-hmm. serve the community. But the initial way they came about was when they caught slaves to bring them back. That was the property they were protecting. So that's where it comes from. So what it is now is they take people and they put them in prison. In prison, they're going to give you a job, and they're going to get money for your bed and your head, and they're going to spend a fraction of it and pocket the rest because it's prisons for profit. Essentially, still slavery. So cops, even though they protect the society, their function is to catch niggas to put them in the jail for the profit of the owner or the slave master. So when you're black and you know that, you see cops, I don't feel protected. I feel like I'm a bounty for that motherfucker. Like, get me one. Because they have a quota of arrests and tickets to make. So they're at work. Even if there's no crime, they're told, hey, how many niggas have you caught this week?
Fucking your day up is their job.
Precisely.
Yo, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, every single day in my life that I leave my house, I see a cop. Like, should cops be that prevalent? Should they just always be present everywhere I go?
You need them because there are crazy motherfuckers out there. Like, they do serve a purpose, but the primary purpose they serve is to keep the machine running that gets them paid.
They should be like the firefighters waiting for a call.
Yeah, they love way more people up for smoking weed than they do for like saving somebody from a stabbing or some shit, or like solving a murder or some shit. There's other shit they could be doing.
This is some G shit I had to do the other day. I was at a show that I was running, and me and all the comics were outside smoking, and the sheriff rolled up on us, and I had the J, so I crumpled it up in my hand, and I was like, oh, he's taking a minute to get out of the car, I'm gonna just go ahead and walk in the building, get rid of this.
Had y'all been smoking? Can you smell it?
Yeah, he walked up at the same time as me. I had to open the door for him with one hand, and I got it crumpled up in my hand at the other. He walks in ahead of me. I go sit down at a table, I drop in someone's cup and go, hey, go throw this away from me. Shout out to people who know how to hold it down. You're not gonna drop no names. There's no snitching on this
podcast. As a black dude, that's a very high pressure situation, because like as a white dude, they see you with some weed, they're probably gonna be like, come on man, you know better, they might like you. As a black dude, they're gonna see the weed, and then the next question is gonna be like, where's the gun? I took one time, me and Jax was out. Jax is one of the co-hosts from the Eskimo Bro Squadcast. I don't know if I talked about this on our show, but we was meeting with a videographer of ours. We were going to meet in Bocce's on the north side on Chicago Avenue. But it was around 3 o'clock, and it was hella kids there that just got out of school and shit. So we ate in the car and just talked shit. We had smoked like an hour before that, so the car really didn't even smell like weed. But we were parked, and this lady saw two black people sitting in front of the house. They didn't see the Jewish dude in the back seat. And she called the cops on us. We weren't doing shit. We were sitting there eating pizza, not bothering the fucking soul. And the cops pull up. They're undercover car. They have no markings on whatsoever. We just see two dudes hop out, two fucking Spanish dudes, and they put guns in our face. They don't say police first. They knock on the fucking door with a Beretta and a 45. And Jax is licensed to carry. How do you react to that situation differently? Like, oh shit, they got guns, I got a gun. They done fucking shot us and acted like we tried to resist arrest and shit. But come to it, they be like, oh, we had a disturbance, we'll just talk to you, check your car. And then, like, we weren't doing anything. They saw pizza in our lap and they still wanted to search us. When they searched us, they found a little fucking one hitter with the weed in it. And then they cuffed us and like, oh, what gang are you in? Who you done shot? Such and such, such and such. And this whole time while this is happening, I'm hearing the radio, motherfuckers getting slaughtered. Shooting one such and such, such and such, such and such, shooting over here. And I'm like, you fucking with us when you could really be taking care of real crimes. It's us and our fucking nerdy Jewish dude eating pizza, shout out to Mitch. And they put us through a real fucking good kid Man City moment of handcuffing us. They fucking broke all my CDs in my car, like, not on purpose, finger quotes, but they just throw the shit in the seat and then put their knees all in the seat. I'm like, oh, I'm looking through the car, I tore my whole shit up, and then fucking called me, like, I need a haircut and shit. And he thought I had drugs in my hat, so he took my shit off. He's like, why don't you get a fucking haircut? This is nappy shit. Now, if you're white, imagine what that's like. You know what I'm saying? You probably haven't had that experience of, like, you're automatically the villain just because of who you are.
I stay in Bowling, right? But, so yeah, I haven't had it for being who I am, but I have had it for hanging out with black people.
Oh, what was it like? Mitch, when we were done and they let us go and shit, finally, because the only reason they let us go, like, they took my weed, probably smoked it. But the only reason they let us go is because, like I said, motherfuckers were getting slaughtered on the radio. It was actual murders they had to attend to. But they could have been doing that instead of fucking with us.
We got a 4 or 5 genocide.
But when we were done, Mitch
y'all
was like,
lucky. Y'all lucky.
Yeah, Mitch was like, fuck, man, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't know it was like that. And because the next day, we had an interview at his college. We smoked a blunt on the doorsteps of the library, like in the little glass part before you get outside, and the cops rolled by and was like, hey guys, put that out. And it was us, but it was like 4 white kids and us. But when it's like 2 black dudes and a white kid, they gave us the motherfucking business.
And it's like, you're supposed to be impartial at your job, but they're just regular people, so they're going through whatever. They could be, their girl's cheating on them, they got a drinking problem, and then they decide to take that shit out on you.
Yeah.
They just fucking, they do whatever the fuck they want.
Because, and I want you to answer that question for me about how it was your experience with that shit. I just want to give you one more example. Me and my other buddy, B, we were like 15 maybe. It was like about 8:30 at night. We was walking home, it was getting dark and shit. These two white cops from Maywood are like, not from Maywood, but they're Maywood cops. They pull up on us and tell us to put our hands on the wall on the gate. Mike, we just walking, we're not doing shit. And they're like, where's your IDs? You need to such be from here. And I'm looking at these two motherfuckers, I can hear it in their voice, like, motherfucker, you from Elmhurst or Zion or some shit. Like, hey guys. Like, I can hear it. I'm like, who are you to come through my community and just fucking jack me up and ask me where I'm going, what I'm doing just for existing? Like, you're not even from here.
I hear the Gary, Indiana in your voice.
Yeah, that shit is insulting in the first place, but I at least feel different about it if it was somebody from there that can be like, hey, y'all ain't been fucking with the little weed spot and what you call it. Like, they know at least. It was just a fucking foreigner in my neighborhood and he has all the authority. And had I not felt like that shit, that they like, get the fuck off me, they would have whooped my ass and said it was my fault, put me in jail, and I'd have had a case, and it'd have been hard to get a job and shit. And then I had to do more crime to make money, and I'd have been in jail. Like, it's a funnel that starts from there. Niggas not trying to do bad. But what was your experience like?
Well, what I want to point out from that story first, because when we talked about it the first time, it was after that Asian dude got his ass whooped on the airplane. And because he got his ass whooped, he had a big ass lawsuit. But that shit happens to you, to a lot of people, every day. There's no lawsuit. There's no, like even when they kill kids, you can't, like, hold these motherfuckers accountable. But I've had, like, we got pulled over, and they were like, what drugs are you on tonight? How many weapons do you have? Like, these leading questions, like...
You never heard that before?
It blew my mind the first time.
Oh, okay.
You know, when,
that's the norm.
You know, I grew up being like, oh, police are our friends. And then slowly realized, oh, no, these dudes, this is an occupying force. They're going to fuck your day up.
Yeah.
I've been taken out of the car. I've been searched. I had a white dude who was a drug dealer. And got pulled over. Cop, he had a blunt. Cop took the blunt from him, smoked it in front of him. He said, I'm going to let you go tonight, but I'm going to give you a warning. Took out his nightstick, busted down his window, busted up his headlights, busted in his back window, and then just rolled out.
Dickhead.
Like, that's just how he felt that day. And wasn't shit my homie could do about it.
And if you want to defend your property, he'd have killed your ass and said, he came straight forward. That's how, like, if you listen to this shit, that's how I feel about cops. Like, a lot of shit, we see a black dude get shot, they do him like Uncle Jimbo. Oh my God, he's coming straight for us. Bow, 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 bow. Like, the shit, and they'll be the one, they'll be the aggressor in this situation. I had this video, just for the song I did called Drunk Right Now. And while we were shooting it, granted, we might have been not overly trespassing, we were like in the strip mall. And like, I was in a little glass display, where you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. Not inside of it, but standing in the doorway, and I was recording the verse real quick, and the cop ran up. He didn't say, guys, could you move it along? Hey guys, this isn't permitted. He was like, wrapping that shit the fuck up, Barbie, gentlemen, let me come kick your fucking ass. And I motherfucking lost it. I moved the shit because just a man talking to me like that where I'm from, I got the right to kill your ass for that. So I left, but the whole way walking in the car, I'm giving this cop the motherfucking business, because that's how they approach you with that type of aggression. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to play the song. If you want to look it up, it's called Grade A Plus Drunk Right Now. But I'll play my little Fuck the Cops rant at the end.
Look it up on YouTube because it's a dope-ass video to go with it. That's my favorite. It's my favorite music video, Drunk Right Now.
Oh, I didn't know you saw that, man. Thanks.
Man, I be sharing that all the time.
Yeah, I really wasn't for it that day. And the cops, they come at you like that. And really, it was another situation just like that before. It was me, Jax, and one of my white videographers. And we was coming out the little hood taco spot. And I wasn't causing any trouble. I was rapping, and I had the volume. If you're listening to the, if you can hear the shit in the background, I have the volume on like 2, and I'm mouthing the words, so I'm not making any noise. I'm trying to cause the least amount of disturbance possible. But the cops see me, you know, with a bag of tacos, and the white guy recording me, and they didn't say, can you move along? You have a permit. They came completely disrespectful. Like, if a motherfucker without a badge had said that to me, they would just now be waking up. Like, and they do that shit because they got that badge and they know they can do that. Like, fuck you. Fuck your rights as a man, as a human. I'm going to talk to you like you made shit. You got to deal with it. Otherwise, you can go to jail or get killed.
It is funny that sometimes when you're not doing shit, you get the most harassment. Because I've been pulled over in cars where it was like open containers of alcohol, drugs, unmarked guns. Got out of it. Didn't even get a ticket. Slid out. But there's another time when I was a Christian, we used to go... We would break dance and Christian rap.
They thought that shit was a front to steal some shit, didn't they?
We were down in Naperville, and we had the floor for the B-boys. And so we roll it up, we're walking out. A grip of police rolled up on us. They thought we had, like, stripped a store and, like, stole shit from the inside. We were like, what? Like, is that what people are into around here?
And where were you at?
We were in Naperville.
Oh shit, another fuck the cop story.
I'm fourth richest suburb in I think America.
Damn. Maybe just in America? No, I can't be America. Cause this is rich as shit here. Like fucking where is it, why the basketball player stayed? Glen Ellen? They rich as fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking but yeah, another fuck the cop story. Me and my partner B, the one I was talking about when we was like 14 and the cops ran and jacked us up on the gate. Pause. We were in a group together, and this, we were like 18 and we had just graduated. And I had like 5,000 flyers printed up with our group on it. It was called The Cartel. And I had these flyers. We would go street teaming at night. We put our hoodies on and stuff all the pockets full of flyers and just put them on everything, on the cars, outside the clubs and all that. And I had this brilliant idea. All these motherfuckers we went to school with, they know us because our manager was for Cash Money and shit. And I was like, let's promote it to prom. Like, people got all these fly ass rented cars. When they come out, they gonna see our shit on it. And they might play it on the way home, you know, make a little memory and fuck with our group and shit. We from Maywood, Bellwood, but the prom is in Rosemont. So we go to the parking complex where the cars are at, where everybody's parking, and we sticker in the shit. Granted, it's two black guys in hoodies running around parking lot. I could see how it could look weird, but if you took one good look at us, you would see the tab in every car with leaving the flyer on it under the windshield and moving. We're not trying to steal shit. Again, the cops didn't come up and ask, hey guys, what are you doing? Such and such, such and such. First off, the security guard came up fat as fuck, and he looked at us, and he was like, hey, guys, freeze! And it was just us and him, and we two, you know, got football scholarship motherfuckers, and we looking at him like, we can just knock this motherfucker out and leave. But then we thinking, the cops are probably on the way, and if we assault him, then it's going to be a problem. So we listened to the dude, and we stayed there, and when the cops come, mind you, this other dude is here already, right? So when the cops come, they put guns on us. Like, all right, now stay still. Like, now maybe they'll tell us the truth. And they ask us all this shit, like, what you doing? Such and such. Like, we're like, where'd you park? I'm like, around the block. We're like, in the blocks around here. Like, that was some nigger shit. He just couldn't say nigger. And then they still got these guns on us. I'm like, sir, we're doing street promotion for a rap group. If you look, I have about 1,000 flyers in my pocket. You can check. And then he takes the shit, and then all my flyers fall on the ground. He just throw them shits. Like, fuck it, you can get them later, nigga. And then when they do that shit, they finally go, okay, well, you trespassed and such, 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 such. But I'm like, if you trespass, you can ask a motherfucker to leave. You don't have to put a gun in my head and destroy my property. That's the type of shit niggas deal with.
All day.
And then you wonder why I have little rap rants like this. Oh, this cop was so out of pocket with me. I don't know how this ended up being the Black Lives Matter UNL podcast. If I go to a comedy show with you, I feel like I'm going to get a dirty look from one of like the real confident white dude comics. Nah. It's like, hey, like Andrew Schultz is going to be like, I want to hear that shit.
I'm like a real alpha male, so nobody's going to bring up static.
Have you ever met Schultz before?
No.
He really thinks like he knows what black people should be doing. He would be in all Archie just putting B-roll like at the end of the video and shit. But then these cops pulled up on me, and this is my response to, keep it fucking moving, nigga!
Fucking pig face! You should die tonight, bitch! Cops suck! You motherfuckers in Maywood, you motherfuckers in Bellwood, you motherfuckers in motherfucking Merrill's Bar. Stop fucking with these fucking black and brown niggas. I ain't did shit to you. I got a job, so I'm trying to fucking rap and quit. You bitches fucking with me. Put this shit at the end of the video. I'll shoot one of them bitches.
Yeah, but that being said, I wasn't even smoking weed yet, so I ain't had nothing dirty on me, so I was real confident. Like, bitches, leave me the fuck alone. Yeah. A lot of built up aggression in the black community. Where the joke's at? We've been talking about serious shit for like the last 20 minutes.
Well, we gotta talk about comedy and rap. Like, I'm just starting to make a little bit of. We had like 40 minutes. Shit, I'm trying to go like 5 points back. I'm starting to make a little bit of money in comedy, doing paid gigs.
Baller alert.
And it's turning out like the keys to making it in terms of like if you're just trying to get some paper. It was very practical. It's like the email, shake hands, I have clips to send to bookers, and that's all like the stuff that's not fun, where I'm like, I just want to turn up, and like, people gonna love me because I turn up, but that's like the worst possible way to try and make it.
Can I tell you something? You ever watch Inside the Actor's Studio?
Yeah.
Did you watch Dave Chappelle's?
That's the most watched episode of all time.
Okay.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, now, of course, I know you know what I'm about to say then. And he was like, he told his dad, like, Dad, I don't want to be a comedian. He was like, son, you could be a teacher. And he's like, how much does a teacher make? And he's like, Dad, how much does a teacher make? And his dad was like, about $25,000 a year. And he's like, if I can make that doing comedy, then I think I'm a success. So even if you're not fucking Kevin Hart, as long as you're paying your bills, you got your fucking Subaru gassed up, and your rent cool off telling jokes, that's your shit, man. You're not clocking in and being miserable for nobody.
Yeah. It's... like you really got to be in New York or LA to get like industry money. Otherwise, you're working on being a rogue comic. Being a rogue comic sucks. Like right now, my next move should be to try and break into like colleges, which I got to do the work. But I hate doing the work.
I know that feeling of rap. Like I hate doing the reps. Sucks sometimes, and it doesn't even feel like it sucks as much. As you feel like if people could just see this. And they weren't just missing
somebody was
brilliant.
Like it.
I'm so fucking brilliant. I'm painting these Picassos, and you motherfuckers is watching the same shit you saw last week. That, I know that has to hurt when you got the best joke, like the funniest shit you read. You know, it's so clever, it's such a cool observation, but it's like 9 people there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, and I have like very high standards. Like, you're a rapper's rapper, I'm a comic's comic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Ari just dropped 2 specials, and Ari. Like, for the longest time, I was like, oh, he's a really smart dude. And I listened to him. I was like, well, most of his material is actually, like, pretty dick and fart jokes. He did have some,
which
like,
one was funnier to you?
I think I like the second one more.
I like the adulthood better. Because it was, like, one was about, like, the running theme was kids. Our kids are garbage. And then the other one was adulthood and just, like, that one really didn't have a theme. It was just all more grown-up jokes.
But that was the thing about like comedy being saturated right now, because like I said, like to record a comic doing an hour, way cheaper than doing one episode of a TV show or a movie. Mm-hmm. You can record 100 comics for less than doing one episode of some shit. And then it's like, it's the law of averages. If 3 of them hit, you more than make your money back. And so like that's why Netflix can afford to just be like, we're just gonna throw all the fucking comics up. So now it's really hard to stand out. And so I got this premium where I'm like, are you giving me something new? Like, are you adding something to the conversation? And like with Ari, I'm like, I don't really feel like he's adding too much to the conversation. It's like, oh, you're talking about abortion. That's some shit we should be way past talking about.
Who's like your comedy top five?
It's Patrice. Recently, Deion Cole just got turned on to him.
Oh, okay. Like, he made it to the top five that fast?
Yeah.
I told you, man.
I'm telling you, man, nobody like really has like meets that level of high game.
It's interesting perspective. It'll be simple shit, but like, well, I never thought about it like that. Like, I love it to be.
But the problem is like the audience, they don't care to know. They don't know the difference between a brilliant comic and a just funny comic. As long as they're laughing and having a good time, that's all they were looking for.
It makes people laugh, so I fuck with them. Who are the other three?
You know, really, it's Patrice, and then a huge drop off. And like, I like Spell, I like Deion Cole, I like Corey Holcomb, TK Kirk. Everybody's black.
Yours blacker than mine. That's funny.
But I do love my George Carlin and my Bill Hicks. Drew Michaels, a Chicago
like,
guy. That's
like
75
now.
Yeah. Well, I'm just.
I'm trying to think.
But I'm trying to say, like, the difference between, like, Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart isn't a genius, but he's funny.
Yeah.
But then there's other people like Kurt Metzger or Sherrod Small that, like.
Kevin Hart is a genius with delivery.
He's funny, but you're not learning anything from him. You're getting a lot of hot quotes. But then, like, you have somebody like Kurt Metzger who writes some, like, really brilliant shit. Nowhere near, like, Kevin Hart is is so far ahead of him. You know, it's like fucking Michael Jordan compared to some dude who's in high school.
I haven't heard any Kurt Metzger jokes.
He's done a lot of shit that he writes for everything.
Does he have specials?
I think he's got a couple out, yeah.
I gotta look him up because I don't think I've ever heard of him. Because I know like a lot of white comics.
And that's the thing, like, you haven't even heard of him.
No, I know the name, but I've never heard his shit. Like, who's another guy that? I just heard a what's the guy? Tom's fucking
Segura.
Yeah, I heard him one time, and I looked up his last story. He's really funny to me, but like it's whatever bleeds do. Because like my top five is like you got the black guys like Chappelle, Patrice,
Chris Rock,
Deonco, Corey Holcomb. Well, like the last one for me, our last two. It was like Louis C.K. and Patton Oswalt. And Patton Oswalt is so funny to me because he's good at... The shit he's talking about isn't necessarily important, but it's the flavor that he puts on it. The words, the adjectives that he chooses to describe the shit. Like, it's what makes it funny. He's a little... If you listen to this and you don't know who he is, you listen to a Comedy Dudes podcast, so you must know. But if you're black and you're tuning in, you don't know who he is because you heard this on fucking Eskimo Bros channel.
He's got
channel.
An album that's like $3 and it's 5 hours long.
Yeah.
So and you can go check that out on iTunes.
You can just listen to the shit on Apple Music or Spotify if you got that shit. But he's this little white dude that looks like a lesbian and he just talks and the way he describes shit makes it so funny.
He's just a super nerd and he's very confident. He's a phenomenal storyteller. Like, that dude can actually do 5 hours on stage. I'm like, I can't do that.
He's so funny. Like, nobody that I know besides you and probably Toyce knows who he is, even. Like, that's always so...
Well, I think he was on, like, King of Queens. So, like, a lot of people know him, but then they know him as an actor. They don't know him as a comic. Like, they have no idea... Or they know him as Ratatouille, but
he's
they have no
Agents
idea
of
that
Shield
he's a comedian.
Now. Yeah. Yeah, but, like, they have no idea that he's, like, one of the, like, funniest people just on stage or the mic. That's another thing that's cool about comedy, too, is, like, Patton Oswalt was, like, 52, and he can still steal some shit out. When you're a rapper and you're 52, you better have had some hits. Otherwise, you gotta do some other shit. Like, when Chingy's 52, I don't even know if they're gonna listen to his shit on cruises like that.
Has anybody blown up as, like, an old rapper?
52 Savage. Shout out to Truth Thick Records.
52. 21.
That's on the line, yeah. But, like, starting out old, where would you say old? Like, what would you call old?
Like a rapper that broke at 40. Like, it's not uncommon for a comic to
you
be
can say that about
40.
2 Chainz, but he had a record deal when he was like 20. And he just
didn't
blew
pop.
Up. He became, you know, of public note when he was 40-something. And Rick Ross, like, he's the same way. He had a deal and was like a songwriter when he was like 20-something. But he got big with hustling, right? Like, when he turned 30. Every day I'm hustling. He was like 30 then. But with comedy... You know, if you're funny, they don't really give a fuck. They'll just come watch you laugh. Most of them dudes doing colleges are, like, middle-aged.
You can definitely do it forever. It's just, how long are you going to be relevant? Like, you know, at some point it does get sad. There are some people where you're like, you should just do something else with your time.
Is it, though? Because, like, somebody like Dave Attell, he's not the most popular dude, but I'm sure he could go to Chicago right now and do a room of, like, 200 people, maybe. Like, it's cool to be able to... All the time is they travel, they take in information, and they give you what they saw, what they spend on it. And it's cool to do that instead of fucking clocking in somewhere worried about your 401k.
And so you need that insurance. Then you're like, fuck, we need a guild.
You gotta pay that shit. Another cool thing is, like, you know, if you a successful enough comic, you'll end up on TV or in a film some kind of way. And recently, like, Hannibal Buress, he has a podcast, and he was saying a podcast, he looks at that as, like, he's a comedian, and his specials are his album, and his podcasts are his mixtapes. So you keep the streets hot and shit. And I thought about that, like, we have a podcast. I like it because I've been thinking about comedy shit, and it's a good segue. Like, it's a good, you know, in between of talking shit for a purpose, being entertaining, learning your time and your style of funny.
Yeah, podcast, I should be, this is like my chance for people to get to know me, and then like the shit will probably grow a lot more if I actually talk to my audience. That's a mistake because I don't really talk to people. I just put up my art and I'm just like, just look at my shit.
You know what helps too? Hashtags are great.
Hey man, no cop fruit.
Oh yeah, hey, fuck it, I do that. But you can just butt your way into conversations. I got about 3,000 Twitter followers, you know. Big shit, obviously. No, I'm fucking around. It's not like that, but it's enough to where I'm kind of known for my opinion and shit. And that's really because I just see some shit, have my observation, and I'll do it, and then like hashtag this. And whoever else is thinking about it, they kind of come and they agree with you, or they say fuck you. And that's great, because then you get to tell them, shut up, bitch. And people start fucking with you for your opinion and your take on shit. And you as a comedian, just when you see some shit, say it. Like, just how we just said right now, you can tweet that shit like, man, the skunk just pulled up on us like, no boy. Because that's what happened. And people will laugh, you know. I just talk my shit.
His hair look like Broly, too. I was like, he's the strongest skunk I've ever seen. The Saiyan of legend.
I know the first point that we got off and we never went back to. What was it we were going to say that what can comedians and rappers learn from each other, because the professions are so similar?
Well, like being a comic, if you do warm up for a show, you can get like $1,700 an episode. You might shoot 2 or 3 episodes a day, and that might be a 5-day a week gig, and that's some real money. Like, that's real paper you can stack.
For the people that don't know, because that's a lame, I'm a person that only knows what it is, and I'm so much of a comedy fan. Like, motherfuckers film a live studio show, like some shit like what the Carmichael Show was filmed in front of a live studio audience. They just hire comics to come get the crowd laughing in between shit when they're changing the set, and you know,
it's not just that out. It's all of them. It's Rachel Ray, it's Good Morning America, anything that has a live audience. Somebody comes out and you make sure everybody's clapping and smiling and has high energy and they're focused, and they get paid a grip of money. At least they have to go up and be cornballs. Like, you can, that's not the place to be like, let me get my real jokes off.
That's something. Damn, we keep going off on these tangents, but you know, such geniuses gotta do that. That's why this is a special episode, because if we was on the Squadcast, we'd be getting kept on track real tough. So we just talking shit because we had, because it's smokers tonight. But as a rapper, I've had this to where I know you've been like similar things. You around real successful people, you kind of in that mix. But it's fucked up, because I don't even feel like this about myself, but I've like hit walls because people think I'm like too dirty. And my videos aren't even really that dirty, but just like the shit I say. But it's like, it's not intended to be shock value, like some necro shit, like if you know who that rapper is, or some Marilyn Manson shit. But fucking, it's just like, that's how I honestly felt, and that's the most honest way to say it. And I had like, I was in this contest to fucking open up for like Currency for some shit, and it was me, Mick Jenkins, who's big, if you look him up, another motherfucker, and somebody else that I can't remember. And with my shit, everybody else, they were like, this is young artist expressing what it's like to be from this side of town. With my shit, the first thing he said was like, great is a bit much. I'm like, why the fuck you gotta do that and make my shit sound salty just because I'm willing to say bitch suck my dick, because I need my dick sucked. Like, but no, I really be, it's times when I'm real introspective in a song, and that's how I really honestly think. And I feel like it gets written off as like toilet humor.
This is the very weird world that you and I live in. And my girl KB, she's just like it. Like, she met Bobby Seale, you know, Black Panther teacher, raw ass comedian, and it's like, bitch, it's just part of my vocabulary. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not talking down to anybody.
Yes.
But to people that it's not, that they're nothing, they have nothing to do with this world, they're like shocked. They're like, oh. Like, a big one is cunt. There are clubs where, like, you can't say the word cunt. And I'm like,
you can't say it at all?
Who cares? Yeah. That's the only word that's banned, too. And I'm like, aren't there about 500 other words that should be added to that goddamn list?
Yeah.
But cunt, that one was one too many.
Damn, I remember one time I had a show, and I was doing great. It was this local show. This dude named Number Two, he's a rapper. He's a cool dude. we cut bumped heads a couple times. We cool dude. A fucking a rapping ass rapper. When I say that, it's not downing him, but like he gonna rap over DJ Premier beat and like give you these bars, son. But he was running the show, and the shit was kind of dry that night. Like the acts before me wasn't really up to too much, and it was me going on stage to him after that, and like he was closing out. I was right before him. And my set was coming on. I was warming the crowd up because, like I said, I flirt with comedy. The shit was dead, so I had people laughing first. I really engaged them into my songs and what I was doing. I, like, stopped it. And this is when Lil B was really big. I had a cook-off in the middle, a cook contest, and let people see, shout out the best cooker. And then I was going to close with this song I got called Super Hoes. And the song isn't just to be dirty about super hoes, but it's really about how I'm a hoe because I'm fucking with this girl that has a boyfriend and how she's a hoe because she's cheating on a man. It's just an honest perspective of like we doing some shit we ain't got no business to be doing, yeah. So we some hoes. And I really hyped the crowd up like, you know you done been slugging before, such, 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 such. And this motherfucker cut my sound. And he gonna say the CD didn't work. But I played the shit in the car, it was fine. But it was like I was doing too much, I guess. And they cut my shit off when I was the only person that had any energy going in the room for that night.
Well, I want to say on that note, so they had said on Facebook, Chester Bennington, that he had killed himself because his wife was cheating, but then I later heard that her account was hacked, which is like the darkest fucking troll ever. Like, oh, your husband's dead, let me hack your account and tell everybody you're a cheating whore. Like, that is so goddamn dark.
Like, it was hacked after he died?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking.
But we were both hacker... just like, oh, you should have just left that hoe.
Yeah, I'm thinking a hacker made him think she was cheating and then he offed himself. That'd be really fucked up.
That'd be even worse. I don't think anybody's that dark.
But especially, buddy, like, just buy a new bitch, man. You rich as fuck. Like, you could just fuck all her friends. Like, get her sister pregnant. So now she has a sister cousin, a little niece.
Take a shroom trip. Like.
Yeah, now get her sister pregnant. So now she has a niece stepdaughter. That's awesome.
There's a whole bunch of stuff you should do before you kill yourself.
I've never
tried acid.
You know what? I tried shrooms, but I don't count. I've never really been shrooming. The most I did was like I ate a stem, and shit got kind of bright. But I wasn't. I've never ate that shit. Like had an eighth and then been able to just zone out, watch a movie. I've never been able to do that shit.
I've only ever done half eighths, and a whole eighth is what they call like a heroic dose. Cause that's when you really see stuff. And I'm always like, that might be a little too terrifying.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That's
do that
where
much.
I might lose my mind.
What is it like? Like running through that?
It's like being a little kid again. And it's also like being on Molly, like every or ecstasy. Have you done that? Ecstasy or Molly Percocet?
I ain't done that shit.
Like, honestly, man, you gotta hang out with better drug dealers.
If I did shrooms, you know what? I really do shrooms. I don't want to be around nobody. If I do shrooms, I want to have some downtime at the crib, and I just want to watch a bunch of porn and play video games. You think watching porn on shrooms would be weird? Or some shit that happened.
Like I watch time lapse videos if I got to be in the house. But if you're on shrooms, what you want to do is walk around in nature because nature's just gonna be talking to you. Like it's just gonna be the most amazing shit.
I'm a young like city kid. I don't like nature.
In the trees.
I hate nature. My
I'm gonna drop you
shroom.
Off at a preserve with a half an eighth and just be like, hey man, I'm gonna be back in 6 hours.
My buddy's a shroom head. He told me the same thing. Like it looks like the trees are breathing and shit. But I don't like nature. I feel like I would like. He said it's like being a kid. I feel like if I had a bunch of shrooms, my house would be like my playpen, and I really just like enjoy my video games, enjoy my TV. Watch a nasty flick. If I'm with, well, I'll be with a chick, and then we just fucking smooch and chill out and fucking look at some shit. And that's my favorite thing to do is fuck, then watch stand up, and then fuck again.
Well, you're definitely gonna be seeing some shit
on shrooms.
Like, if you ever had like outer space sex where you smoke up real good and then you get dead, like that outer space sex, that's what you're gonna have on some shrooms.
What do you see? Like, I can't imagine seeing some shit that's not there.
Like, I've heard, like, Duncan Trussell talked about, he saw like a fish come swim in and out of his body, and he saw like elves that were talking to him. I've had friends tell me they see elves that talk to him.
Do you see it with your mind's eye, like how you think about a titty right now? You see a titty in your head, but it's not in your face, or do you perceive it to be here?
No,
now?
Like I think from like I haven't.
You
I haven't
hallucinated?
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far. Like as far as I like, because I do a half eight. One time the cat jumped on my lap, and his face was like super wavy, but that was like. I wasn't seeing Smurfs that wanted to talk to me and shit.
I'll give you some wild drag shit. Jack's actually turned me on to this because it's going to be wild. Because like I said, I'm a person that around my hood, I'll be on some shit. Like I'm really from the hood. Niggas get shot by my house. It's fucking like I grew up on the stone block. If you know what that is. Sad truths. But fucking yeah. I had a job and I was a bill collector. It was the most stressful shit ever. And like I'd be drinking, having hangovers, and I felt terrible. And I didn't want to smoke because I'm trying to get another job. So Josh was like, try this. Fucking K2. You ever tried that before?
No.
If you do the shit.
Wait, I did. Isn't that the fake weed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've smoked that shit. It put one of my dudes in the hospital.
And what people fuck up is that shit is 10 times stronger than weed, and they roll joints of it. This is why I smoke with a one-hitter with weed to this day, because I started smoking K2 with that before I started smoking weed. That shit, if you take just a bowl, like three hits off of it, it's like smoking the whole blunt, and you high as fuck for 10 minutes. That shit would have you tripping, because you don't perceive shit to be here, but it's like your mind's eye is vivid as fuck. And if you just take too much of that shit, you just be tripping. Like, one time, me and Jax, because he didn't want to turn me on and shit. I never tried it before. And we had a show, and we went in there. We was DJing for Mr. Motherfucking Esquire. And, like, I think King Louie, but King Louie backed out of the show. We smoked that shit, and our senses flipped. And if you don't know what that is, it's like, I can smell the music, and I can
hear the food.
Yeah, like, weird shit. Like, it's weird. Like,
I can see the way this door feels.
That shit will have you tripping. Like, I don't do that shit. Like, I stopped fucking with that shit. But for, like, 6 months, we was really like, and I was just like, I just smoke regular weed, fuck it, and see how I do. But for 6 months, when I'm trying not to pass a drug test.
Do they sell that shit anymore?
Probably not, because, like I said, motherfuckers, if you roll a whole blunt of that shit, you'll be tripping. Because smoking a blunt of that is like smoking, like, 15 blunts. So, motherfuckers, you know how your weed, how your chest races when you smoke weed? Motherfuckers have heart attacks and panic attacks. So they think they're going to die. Like,
that's what happened when I do. Yeah.
You can sit there and chill, but too much of that shit, you'll have a really bad panic attack.
Like smoking a Red Bull.
Man, one day
I was... give you wings.
Like I said, I was like a bill collector, like slash repo man or whatever. It was for fucking Rent a Center. And one day, I'm in the car, and I had this shit. It was this K2 shit. It was called Fuzzy Wuzzy. It had a fucking Waka on the package, like from the Muppets. I just smoked the shit. I'm the highest you can possibly get. Imagine if you smoke weed and never tried K2. You're a lucky person. But imagine if you smoke 3 blunts in 3 minutes, and then you that high. And the shit, another thing about that shit is it smells like it smells like a cigarette. So they can't even tell that nobody knows that you might be fucked up. So I'm in there, and then for some reason my boss's boss walks in, and he wants to talk to me about all these numbers and percentages and shit. And I still don't know how that conversation went. I'm surprised he didn't fire me right then, because I was as fucking smack as smack could be. And it's me and this dude that look like fucking the captain from Star Trek, and he want answers in this motherfucking suit. He done flew in from Milwaukee or some shit. And I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, we do our best to take care of the customers, all demands and criteria. And it's fucked up, because you're high.
Anyway, I would love to film that as a sketch where, like, you smoke the K2 and then you see him walk out of the office door, slam the limo door, get in the plane door, get off the plane, get out of the car, walk into the building, and he's like,
with the arm,
where the numbers at?
And it's fucked up, because I'm high as shit. You know when you're high, you gotta act like you're not high? Most of the time, with the way I live my life now, when I'm high, unless it's the cops, I can just be high. But when you have to try and talk like you're not fucked up, I'm like, well,
yes, I'm yeah, there, hello.
And I'm talking to an old white dude, and I'm black, a fucking, like, bench 300 pounds black dude trying not to scare him and shit. So I'm trying to sound non-threatening. Like, well, we've been making our best efforts, actually. And if, I'm thinking, he got to know I'm high from where I'm talking. Don't the motherfucker sound like this. I was just playing Ice Cube. This motherfucker. You know, all the repos and saying, oh, they're all out at the moment. Like, I sound like a fucking nut job. And this motherfucker's like,
People around here just like cracking up, like, what the fuck is gray eye? Fuck right
now. It was just me in the store, too, because he wanted to talk to my boss, and it was just me there. So it was all on me. Like, this is if you've ever had a job in like some sort of office setting, you know, like a manager, and then every time they put another fucking type of land on the shit, they more important. The regional, district, fucking...
Oh, I got like 8 managers above my manager that all want to pop in.
And that motherfucker came from another state. He pulled up on my ass like, you good?
And I was like, well, around here? Yes,
sir. I would never partake in any sort of narcotics. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm just tired. I was worried about this job all night. I stay up at night trying to figure out how to get more sales.
I'm not going
to
say where I work now for obvious reasons, but on fucking, they don't drug test people. But they don't want anybody to, like...
Unless you get hurt.
Yeah. They don't fucking drug test people. And, you know, they're not really tripping. They just don't want you to be smoking a blunt while you work in the machine and shit. And that shit is cool, because now I don't really have to worry about that. But having them old office jobs, call center jobs and shit, if you've ever struggled, you had a call center job. And that whole trying to hide the weed smell shit, it's a real predicament. That's what gives you a panic attack.
Like, so if you can't work on weed, please don't do it. Because I got people that work for me where I'm like, smoke after work, man. Like, you're fucking worthless when we hit.
Like, one of the side effects of weed is, like, panic. And I think that shit really is only because it's illegal. Because if you didn't have that pressure of, like, I'm doing something wrong, when you drink a beer, you know, like, oh, my God, unless you're fucking 16 and you're not supposed to have that shit, then you're fucking tripping out like that. Move to Colorado, man. That's what you gotta do. When we moving to Colorado, man.
So, I wanted to go back. We got off on a tangent. Like a comic hit me up and they asked me like, what is clean comedy? Comedy Shine is like doing a workshop on comedy, and he was like, he was wondering if he should enter or not. And I was like, clean comedy is not just don't use any swear words. It's like no content that you wouldn't use. Like if you wouldn't say it to your nana, if you wouldn't say it in polite company, then it's dirty. And in rap, like you have a whole host of shit you got to do. Like my dude Leroy just hosted the Bolingbrook Fest, and he brought out his dude B Class. Mm-hmm. B Class, you know, he swears in his raps, and so the community organizers, you know, they're freaking out because they got to keep everything 100% like G or PG. Like kids are here, and he went out and he was a professional. He just said like, I respect my community way too much to use any kind of offensive words, and he cleaned it up like on the spot as he rapped it, which is super dope. They're showing up and doing the job, and sometimes as a comic, you got to do that. You got to be like, there's kids here.
Did that take all the fun out of it for you? Or does it just decrease? Because if it's a check, fuck it, I understand.
Well, I made a wrong move because I had a paid gig the other day and there was a family there. And, like, I came there intending to do specific dirty material.
Y'all gonna get these bars tonight, goddamn.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this family's not supposed to be here. These people paid for a comedy show. They're paying for me to be me. So I'm going to be me. And
the family
fuck this
was out
family.
Of place, right?
But that was kind of the wrong decision because the crowd, like, wasn't rocking with me because the kid was sitting right behind me. So they were like, come on, man, just like be cool for the kid. I'm trying to be like, no, motherfuckers, I'm trying to be cool for you. It's a struggle.
You want to struggle?
Have you had to deal with that shit in rap where it's like, oh yeah, man, you.
You mean like
you can't do super host tonight? don't even bring that one up.
With a lot of it, like performing, I really don't get a lot of that honestly because that was one of the stories. But when I'm performing, since I've been a big fan of stand-up comedy as long as I've been a big fan of rap. I just approach the crowd like they kind of talking shit, so I can keep, even if I'm saying some really fucked up shit, I can say some shit to kind of get the people fucking like, oh, he's human, he's not looking down on us. I can get people engaged. But just bad shows and rap, that shit is ugh. One time we had some shit at a this club had used to be a Popeyes. Like it looked like that, like they slightly redecorated it, but
I've
it had glass doors
in a taco store while people were buying tacos. But yeah, so you had this refurbished Popeyes.
Yeah, and it was like a bar, and it's fucking all everybody there is like probably 45 and up, and this motherfucker actually fuck getting paid. Like he was like, okay, you pay $20 to get in this showcase, so we paid $20, and before we don't know what this shit looked like before we get there to come fucking rapping this Popeyes for old drunk people. I was like, this is a new low, man. I'm getting the fuck out of this rap shit. But that night I kind of learned how you can get money though, because we was in the show with some other group that I still don't know now. Like I don't know what the fuck they doing, but they was doing good then. They was like independent, and they had just came off tour, and they had like got $1,500 that night. There was these two fucking Mexican dudes, I think they were some Latin Kings, and they had fucking like straight back braids and shit, but they was getting money. And I was like, damn, you can do that and not be famous and get paid. And they was like, yeah, man. They were still at the Popeyes with us though, so they was fucking up somewhere along the way.
We used to go to this like 4 a.m. Latino bar. It was like after the hours was the after hours.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I'm walking out of the washroom, Latino dude walks in, kicks in the stall, and just like beating the fuck out of a dude who was taking a shit. I was like, he looked over at me, I was like, you good, man? I got the fuck up out of there. But I was like, man, to get your ass whooped while you're taking a shit.
For the ass whooper, that's bad, because that's a high dookie risk situation. Because if you fucking steal shit and you hit him on the toilet, you can get some splatter back and you still got to drive home, nigga. Like, human shit really creeps me out.
He said he fucked his wife.
He said that?
No. The funny shit is, I was dancing with his sister, and I think he probably came in. That ass woman was probably for me. And that dude just got that one for me.
See, I hate public. That shit like that happens.
It could have been some other shit, but that was the last time I went to that club. I was like, you know, guys, I'm good.
That was about to be devastating, man.
I had too much turn up that night. They had, we had a pre-party where everybody had their own bottle of Hennessy, and, you know, I can't handle my liquor. So I was just saying crazy shit all night.
You can't handle it for real, man.
I just turned into, like, King Kong. Like, I'll fight everybody. I hate all of you.
Man, my fucking, when I had that job at Renaissance, my buddy Miguel, yeah, I'm snitching. Y'all know which Renaissance it was. But we was like the same age. Like, my birthday was like the same year and shit. And when he was like my buddy, it's funny because it was like my first time having like a real Mexican friend, because my neighborhood was so black. So we would just have like these fucking like talks about like culture and shit. Not some weird shit, but like he really didn't know niggas like I didn't know white, like Mexican people. and we just ask each other racist shit, and like, we see how we turn up and shit. And it's like, as a black dude, we be fucked up. And like, I'd have a hangover. Like, what you do? I'm like, man, I hit a couple cups last night. Like, I drank like a half of a pint or some shit. This motherfucker kill a whole bottle of Hennessy and come to work dying every Saturday like clockwork. He come to work, first thing he do is fucking throw up, and I'm like, what? Why do you do this? I don't know what it is Mexican people, but they can throw that shit back. Oh, yeah. Every Saturday, a fucking 6-pack of Tecate and the fifth or something.
I used to wash dishes, and the bus boys would look out for me, and they would always steal liquor, and so they would hand me just a giant sippy cup, but it'd be full of like just straight shots. And one night, I just like, I was sick for like 2 days after I had their drink. I was like, you motherfuckers trying to kill me.
That's what I, like, drinking is really shit when you like in high school and not supposed to be doing it. And then from like 21 to 25, because after that, you feel the slowness of it. Like right now, if we used to kill a fifth, you gonna feel great for them 2 hours, maybe not get a whole fifth.
It's hot out here in Chicago. Yeah, it's humid.
Like, if like as a person to yourself, you used to drink like a half pint of alcohol, you'll feel great. But later, you're gonna feel tired, slow, soggy, like
don't want to go to work.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pee a lot. You're gonna be hot. You're gonna be kind of hungry, but you got a headache. Like. That's why weed's better, because it doesn't have all them side effects. You just get sleepy.
I try to just smoke. I've never started a fight from smoking. I've never said reckless things because I was smoking. All I do is eat some food and chill out. Worst thing I'm going to do is fall asleep.
That's true, because like, with alcohol, that shit is going to make you, however you're feeling, it's going to make you feel that times 10. Like, if you pissed off and then you get drunk, you're just going to be pissed off and willing to fight. But weed will make you chill out and knock the pissivity away.
That's so crazy when people are like, fucking pissed, I need a drink. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Don't do that.
It depends. I've done that before, but it's like, it depends on what you do. Because if you're going to sit down and just walk in circles and still be pissed, you don't got to do that. You got to like turn on the TV or some shit or play Madden or something. Like, don't just sit there and soak in the pissivity. It's just going to go wrong on you.
I think it's just some dude shit where it's like, you just got to let that shit get out of your system. Like I might mentally calm down and be like, this is stupid, but I need time for, like, my blood to stop boiling.
We're animals. And, like, anger, that shit comes from, you know, I'm weird. I go into, like, fucking Wikipedia University and shit. And, like, when I just think about some shit, I look it up. And anger, the basis of the shit, is, like, you feel like you've been treated unfairly. Like, they did some shit with, like, monkeys. It's, like, they ask them to roll over and they give them a grape. And then they did it for all these monkeys. And they gave one, two grapes. And another monkey saw that shit and they lost their motherfucking mind. So you angry, you feel like you've been cheating in some sort of way. And it's like, your instinct to survive is like, this shit ain't right. I could die. Fuck it, somebody got to get hurt till this shit is rectified. And as a man, you got to do that shit. Because we still animals, we just don't have the hair. You want to rip another monkey's necks off until the universe is balanced. So you got to fucking watch fucking Pornhub or play Madden or 2K or some shit to get that shit out.
Well, like the therapist will tell you, like, anger is an expression of why don't I matter. Like, you feel like you don't, your value is being threatened. And you should be secure in your own value enough that nobody fucks with that. But then there are times when, like, anger is called for. Like, boundaries are healthy.
It's not even like,
it's good to tell people, you're going to stay exactly here.
That's another reason why, like, you know how they be like, black people don't like therapy. I kind of want to have therapy, but I feel like I'd be wasting my money. I'm so good at arguing that I'd just be fighting all the shit that the therapist said. Because that shit that you just said now, I'm like, okay, it's like, why does my value matter? It's like, it could mean that, or if I'm trying to get to work and this motherfucker's
could
like,
just be some fuck shit.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to get to work and this motherfucker's fucking up. I'm pissed because he's threatening the way I feed myself. Like, I'm not just like,
which is a legitimate concern.
Yeah, that shit. So, like, it's reasons, goddammit. It's not just, oh, this person bumped into me. Oh my God. Like, why? How could he not respect my personhood and being? Like,
here's some shit I was thinking about therapy. I want to turn it into a bit, but I haven't figured it out yet. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So if there are people out there that know how to help you have healthy emotions, and that's what we should all have, we shouldn't be paying for that shit if you can afford it. It should just be part of high school. It should be part of the community service. Like we should all have the information so we can all be as healthy as we can be. Mm-hmm. I can't afford that shit. Like, I'm sure everybody could use a little bit. Everybody needs a little tune-up.
You got to have that shit. That's a good-ass bit. I mean, I said some shit like that in the song before. Like, I started off, I was like, great is like, someone needed therapy, but ain't got the money for the shrink, so I'll be tearing shit up. And it's like, that's real. Like, it'd be nice to just have $200 to pay a friend, but that's another reason why, just with a therapist, I know they're here to help people and they genuinely want to help, but just in the back of my head, I'm like, if I didn't have this money, then you don't give a fuck if I off myself tomorrow. Like, so you, how vested are you? You just telling me some shit, and you probably got a therapist that don't want to hear your ass whine right now.
It's crazy, a bunch of therapists have therapists, and I'm like, and then they become Scientologists.
You know my form of therapy? Honestly.
Smoke.
That too, of course. But like, if you ever watch fucking Animaniacs and they had a little kid come out and she just drive a fucking dad, and that's like, why? I really just, whatever the fuck is bugging me at the moment, I ask why. And then you get to the root of that, and then you ask why for that, and then you normally get to the base of what it is, and you know what to change and work on yourself. I feel like that's what therapy is. And it takes a certain person with a level of enough head to do that, but until I got the money to just fucking bust down the copay that have motherfucking fake care about me, the why method works great.
Okay, love you. Bye bye now. That was that girl's line. Buttons and Mindy.
Yeah, that was it.
Animaniacs was my shit when I was a kid. I think the root of most of it is just getting people to realize, like, you're alive, you're here, you're free, like, just chill the fuck out. You think people are out to destroy you, you think the universe hates you, you think you're never going to be this, that, or the other. Make a plan. It's all very practical. It's not fun.
Yeah.
Make a plan, work your plan. Plan your work your plan. You're all right. Just smoke some. So I think we got to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah, it's been a minute.
But everybody, check out Eskimo Brothers, Squadcast Podcast.
Good show. Lots of rambling for the topic this time.
Where can people find you?
On Instagram and Twitter at grade708. GRADE708.
And we're going to end with that track you sent me. Anything you want to tell about this track real quick?
It's called Food for the Thought. And I wrote this when I wrote this shit a while ago. I believe I had gotten fired. I was on unemployment, but I also had, like, possibly was flirting with some chances of getting some rap money, so I didn't know how shit was going. And I was just expressing myself. And this is definitely one of them songs where I was talking about earlier how I might have just been honestly saying how I was feeling, but I see the look on people's face like, that was dirty. So let me know what y'all think. Appreciate y'all for listening, man.
Yeah, check this shit out, and then go find Gray on SoundCloud, YouTube. Go check out Drunk Right Now. My name's Ian Ellis at Chicago Open Mic on Twitter, and
peace. Yeah, nigga, just go cop to, you know what I'm saying? Bust a cup of that to your motherfucking mouth, feet up on your motherfucking leftovers and bounce out. Chat. Yeah. Nigga, still throwing up in W's for the murder. Woods in the mills for the fucking crew. Niggas just coming through, deep as fuck, clogging up the lanes, man. Skinny niggas wishing they could do the same thing. But they ain't great and ain't been through what I've been through. Hate to say it, but that weed is central to the mental. Well, lately it is. I'm about to make me a bitch. Make me some fish after I splatter a face with a dick. Cause I'm me, nigga, I can do that. Probably where your boo at, beating that pussy blue black. Made her come like 3 times. She sucked me till I reach mine. Busting the hair, now she got an Elmer's glue hat. Who that? Mr. Never fit it in. Now I get it in. Hit record, they press play. I get my dividend. You like your women thin. I like my bitches thick. Ghetto Barbie on the nigga chin. Make a nigga green. Got the motherfucking Joker. 100 trill niggas ain't no motherfuckers doper. I be chasing cash from the motherfucking sofa. Till I'm rich as Oprah. Oh, this shit is over. Like the motherfucking Joker. 100 trill niggas ain't no motherfuckers doper. I be chasing cash from the motherfucking sofa. Till I'm rich as Oprah. Oh, this shit is over.